Hello, my friends. I'm Marissa Blackwood, and welcome to All Things Murder. Welcome to All Things Murder, the show that dives into real true crime cases that inspired pop culture movies and shows we know today. I'm Marissa Blackwood, and get ready to get angry. This case and the movie An American Crime that is based off the true events of this case will make anyone fueled with anger, just like myself. An American Crime starring Kathy Keener, Elliot Page, James Franco, Evan Peters, and Bradley Whitford is about the tragic murder of Sylvia Likens and the woman who was paid to care for her, Gertrude Banaszewski. Listener's discretion is advised. If you're a fan of horror movies or true crime, or perhaps both like myself, don't forget to like and subscribe. Also, don't forget to check us out on YouTube at All Things Murder. New episodes on Thursdays. In 1965, 16-year-old Sylvia Likens and her sister were sent to the home of a family friend, Gertrude Banaszewski, while her parents were traveling. But Sylvia never made it out alive. Gertrude Banaszewski, born September 19, 1928, in Indianapolis, Indiana, was the mother of seven children from three marriages. Seven children. Ladies, if this is not your reminder to take your birth control today, seven children, take your pills. Oh yeah, seven children. My uterus hurts just saying that. Sylvia Marie Likens was born January 9th, 1945, and was the third of five children born to carnival workers Lester Cecil Likens and his wife Elizabeth, or Betty. Once again, seven children, five children. That's a lot of freaking kids, okay? Especially back then. A lot of children, a lot of mouths to feed. Since her parents were both carnival workers, they were on the road more often than not. They struggled to make ends meet as her father, Lester, only had an eighth grade education and a total of five mouths to take care of. Yeah, I'd freak out too. As a result, both sisters frequently stay with their relatives. Often it was their grandmother. Jenny, her sister, was quiet. She was just kind of a quiet kid. She was withdrawn because she had a limp from polio. Sylvia was a bit more confident and went by the nickname Cookie and was described as pretty, though she had been missing a front tooth. In July of 1965, Lester Likens decided to take up with the carnival again while his wife was in jail for shoplifting that summer. Sylvia's brothers, Danny and Benny, they were put in the care of their grandparents. With few other options, Sylvia and Jenny were sent to stay with a family friend named Gertrude. Gertrude was every bit as poor as the Likens because she had seven children of her own to support in her rundown house. I got seven mouths to feed. You want me to add two more? What? She made very little cash by charging her neighbors a few dollars to iron their laundry. As we know, she had been through multiple divorces, some of which resulted in physical abuse against her and left her with a crippling depression with heavy doses of prescription drugs. So she was in no condition to take care of two teenage girls. But Lester requested that Gertrude straighten his daughters out when he would place them in her care for about $20 a week. First 2 weeks, the sister's life went fine, no problems. Like, okay, it's not bad staying here. Now, Jenny was 15. We know she had polio. She wore a leg brace, so Sylvia offered to help around the house, making sure the chores were done for both of them. And her sister's got a limp. She's like, all right, let me do what I can to show our host that we are grateful for staying here. Nice kids. There was little discipline, and the girls just fit in the family well. They all regularly attended church and Sunday school with Gertrude's children. Paula, who was 17, Stephanie, who was 15, John, 12, Marie, 11, Shirley, 10, James, 8, and Dennis Lee Wright Jr., who was 1. But the problems began when their $20 payment for their room and board was late. The abuse. Gertrude was pissed. And she said, quote, "Well, I took care of you two bitches for nothing. end quote. And then she decided to spit on these children. Yes, she spit on them. What a bitch. She then grabbed Sylvie by the arm, dragged her in her room, and closed the door. Jenny was only able to hear outside the door as her sister was screaming. The money did show up the next day, but the torture had just begun. Gertrude soon began to abuse both Sylvia and Jenny in broad frickin' daylight. And no one said nothing. No one said anything. Now you're probably like, she's a frail old lady. Like, how is she beating them up? Okay, yes, she was a frail old lady, but she would beat the girls with a heavy paddle and a thick leather belt from her ex-husband who was a cop. So, frail old lady with a paddle and a belt, yeah, I'm not messing with her either. When she was too exhausted or too weak to beat the girls herself, her daughter Paula would step in to take her place. Like, I got it, Mom. You go sit down, take a nap there. I'll finish the beatings. Like, great mom, great example. Sylvia, however, soon became the focus of the abuse. Gertrude, this mother of seven, was only 36 years old at the time, and it is believed that she was jealous of Sylvia because she was young, as was Paula, who was almost the same age as Sylvia, but she was overweight and already pregnant. So these two bitches are like jealous of her, so they're like, guess we gotta beat her because we're jealous. That is not the answer here. Because your daughter messed up and got knocked up, why you gotta take that shit out on me? Gertrude accused Sylvia of stealing from her and would burn her fingertips. She then took her to a church function and force-fed her the free hot dogs until she was sick. And then she threw it up because she was force-feeding that food. Then as a punishment for throwing up good food, she forced her to eat her own vomit. When I tell y'all, I wanna punch this lady in the face. I hate this woman so much. Paula once kicked Sylvia in the face with so much force that she broke her wrist in the process, and once her cast was on and dry, she used it as a weapon. So not only is it just the mom, it's the daughter as well. She then allowed her other children, in fact, she encouraged her other children to partake in the abuse of Sylvia and her sister, like, come on, kids! Family beatings, let's go. What kind of mother? Gertrude's kids practiced their karate on Sylvia and would slam her into walls or onto the floor. They would use her skin as an ashtray, threw her downstairs, would cut open her skin and rub salt in her wounds. And the neighbors aren't hearing none of this shit, really? After this, she would often be, quote, cleansed in a scalding hot bath. The abuse by Gertrude and Paula was horrific, and it was not long until others began treating Sylvia the same way. For example, 15-year-old Stephanie's boyfriend, Coy Hubbard, and his friends from the neighborhood were often around their house, and they would spend weekends there tormenting Sylvia. Yeah, they didn't go out and play kickball or baseball. No, none of that shit. They came over to abuse her. The whole damn neighborhood of children. What the hell is wrong with people? Gertrude forced Sylvia to strip naked in the living room and masturbate with a glass bottle in front of Coy and his other friends. Soon after, Sylvia was forbidden from attending school and was subject to having her fingers burned and kicked in the genitals for the evils of sex before marriage, something she was not even doing. Claiming that she's like a whore and having sex before marriage and they're beating the shit out of her. She's like, your daughter is the one that's knocked up, okay? I know what a condom is. You should probably tell her what that is. And of course, her parents never knew about the abuse. They did not know. When they came to visit their daughters, the girls were told to never speak about their lives at the house. Oh no. Or they would get their ass kicked. Yes, she threatened them. I'm just saying, I feel like there would be marks, though. Like, wouldn't there be bruises? I'm just saying. Anyway. In September, just 2 months after the girls were sent to live with Gertrude, Sylvia and Jenny met their older sister, Diana, in a park. So they met their sister, and they just spilled the beans about all the abuse. But she thought they were embellishing their situation, like, okay, crazy old lady, a lot of kids. probably not that bad. So she did nothing with the information the girls gave her. A man from the neighborhood did finally step up and called the school, reporting that there was a girl in Gertrude's house and she was being abused. But Gertrude was like, no, of course not, saying that Sylvia was out of control and she ran away from home. See, not even here.
Not even here? Like, how could I beat somebody who's not even here?
Dang, Paul. Keeps imagining things. No, Paul saw the truth, bitch. Other next-door neighbors allegedly were aware of how Sylvia was abused. They had even seen Paula strike the girl in the house on two separate occasions, but they claimed they never reported it because they feared for their own lives. I'm gonna say it's full of shit. I don't know. Raise your hands. Is that full of shit? I think they're full of shit. Because of the cruelty Sylvia had been continuously enduring, she became incontinent, like she couldn't go to the bathroom, which then pissed Gertrude off further. Sylvia was tied up in the basement on the 6th of October, where she stayed until her final days. The death of Sylvia Likens. In the basement, Sylvia was given little food or water and was forced to wet herself and use the corners of the dark room as a toilet. Children in the neighborhood would pay 5 cents to see Sylvia for themselves. Yes, they came 5 cents to mock her. Hey, people. On the 23rd of October, Sylvia's abuse escalated and her body was branded, quote, I'm a prostitute and proud of it, was carved into her stomach with a needle heated over a flame. They branded her. You neighbors didn't hear that? I know she screamed. No way. She did not scream. They branded her. Nobody said anything. Nobody wanted to be a hero. Oh my God. This case enrages me. Though Gertrude wasn't able to finish the branding, she got one of the kids from the neighborhood to help her out. And 14-year-old Richard Hobbs stepped in and completed the carving. Oh, Gertrude's tired. She's old. Let me step in and give her a hand. On October 25th, 1965, Silver Likens was so desperate she attempted one final escape. She managed to get out of the front door, but she was so weak from her injuries, she didn't get very far, so Gertrude got her. With the assistance of Coy Hubbard, Gertrude beat Sylvia with a curtain rod until she fell unconscious. Then when she came back to, she stomped on her head. Sylvia was dead by October 26, 1965, from a brain hemorrhage, shock, and malnutrition. After 3 months of torture and starvation, she could no longer form intelligible words. She could barely move her limbs. She was just 16 years old. Now, days before her death, Gertrude forced Sylvia to write a letter since she knew she was going to die soon. The letter claimed that Sylvia had run away and that the boys from the neighborhood were her torturers. Like, Gertrude's like, nah, don't look at me. It was clearly the damn boys in the neighborhood. Damn kids. Gertrude's last attempt to deflect any blame was to cover Sylvia's body in rubbing alcohol. When the police came, Gertrude stuck with her cover story that Sylvia had been out with boys in the woods. She told them they had beaten her to death and carved a I'm a prostitute and proud of it in her body. But remember, she still has her sister there, Jenny. And Jenny took her chance. As soon as she got close enough to a police officer, she whispered, quote, get me out of here and I'll tell you everything, end quote. Yeah, I would have too. I'd be like, yo, this bitch is lying. That bitch murdered my sister. I would have spilled everything. Avenge my sister. Not getting away with this chick. Gertrude, Paula, Stephanie, Coy Hubbard, Richard Hobbs, and John Jr. were arrested for Sylvia's murder after Jenny gave an accurate statement to police officers. Oh yeah. She spilled the beans. Good for you, Jenny. Good for you. 5 children from the neighborhood were also arrested for their involvement. Only during the autopsy were doctors able to see the extent of Sylvia's injuries. She had over 150 wounds
including the carving into her stomach. She had a hole in her right wrist that almost went to the bone, likely from a lit cigarette, and her fingernails were broken. She had also bit through her lips when she died, almost separating them from her face. Overall, her cause of death was given as a subdural hematoma to her right temple, alongside shock, injuries, and malnourishment. Gertrude herself pleaded not guilty by reasons of insanity. Her defense attorney claimed that she was not responsible because she's not all there, like, Your Honor. She's crazy, okay? She's just a crazy old lady. She's just crazy. Oh, she's getting older, you know, 7 kids. No. On May 19th, 1966, Gertrude Banaszewski was convicted of first-degree murder and was sentenced to life imprisonment. She was spared the death penalty despite her own lawyer, admitted that, quote, in my opinion, she ought to get the electric chair. Her own lawyer was like, that bitch deserves to die. Why are y'all doing it? Now get ready to get angry. The injustice from our court system. Paula Banaszewski, who had given birth to a daughter during her trial, because remember, she was pregnant, was convicted of second-degree murder and was also sentenced to life imprisonment. Richard Hobbs, Coy Hubbard, and John Jr. were all given 2 to 21 years in prison at the Indiana Reformatory due to them being minors. Since they were kids, they only got 2 to 20 years in prison. Gertrude and Paula were retried in September of 1971 due to not receiving a fair trial. Are you shitting me? This time, Paula did plead guilty to voluntary manslaughter and was eventually released in September of 1972, despite numerous escape attempts, okay? Not only did she help kill Sylvia, oh no, and recruit the neighborhood kids for her mom. No, she tried to escape from prison, and they're like, you know what? I think she's learned her lesson, guys. I think we should just let her go. Are you freaking kidding me? After about 8 years behind bars, yes, I said 8, Paula was released and she since moved to Iowa, where she changed her name to Paula Pace and became a teacher's aide. Now, before you be like, how is this bitch allowed to work with children? Hold on. She was suspended from her position when in 2012, an anonymous caller tipped off the school district saying, you do know that Paula was convicted of the death of 16-year-old Sylvia Likens, right? You didn't know that? No one does background checks. No one. The daughter she gave birth to in 1966 was put up for adoption, and Paula later went on to have 2 other children with her husband. Gertrude was granted parole on good behavior. Yes. Yes. On December 4th, 1985. This bitch got parole. This bitch got parole. Oh my God. Jenny, the sister, and a whole crowd of people picketed outside the prison to protest her release, like, are you fucking kidding me? But it was no use because Gertrude was set free and she changed her name to Nadine Van Fossen and moved to Iowa. The only relief Jenny received came 5 years later after Gertrude's release when the murderess died of lung cancer in 1990 when she was 61 years old. Karma. Not saying people deserve cancer, because I've had many relatives die of cancer, but I mean, that was karma, right? 15-year-old Stephanie was never charged with the murder of Sylvia Likens. Instead, she turned state's witness and was released, eventually moved to Florida. She changed her name to Stephanie Syrikstad and had several kids of her own. Gertrude's other children were placed in foster care temporarily and then put in their father's custody. Jenny Likens went on to marry and had 2 children of her own. She spent many years on medication due to the anxiety from watching her sister's torture and eventual murder. She never blamed her parents for what happened during their childhood. This case obviously enrages me because they let them out. They murdered a 16-year-old girl and tortured her terribly. 150 wounds! And they freaking carved into her! And y'all were like, let's just give them parole. Let's release them. No!
I agree with the lawyer. She should have got the electric chair. Zadada should have got life imprisonment.
They should have never been even granted parole, should have never been released. And now we have the spawn of this horrific woman just walking around free like, I was a kid. No.
Those are my thoughts. As you can see, I'm getting very heated by this case because I don't believe that's right. Absolutely not. I agree with Jenny. If I was born and alive back then, I would have picketed my ass off. I'm like, don't let that bitch out. I'm so mad about this case. Just my opinion, guys. Just my opinion. And that, my friends, is the tragedy of Sylvia Likens. Rest in peace. Thank you all so much for joining me. Don't forget to tune in next week for a new All Things Murder. If you dare.